Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As you know, we are living in extraordinary times. And as I mentioned to you in January, the way to approach it is to approach it with zeal. But I also warned you last week that zeal without wisdom is dangerous. Extraordinary times require extraordinary wisdom. And as I mentioned to you last week, there are three books in the Bible that talk about wisdom. The primary one is the book of Proverbs. The second is the book of Ecclesiastes. And the third, which we tackled last week, is the book of Job. Today, I want to focus on the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. It mentions the word wise 56 times, the word wisdom 55 times, the word knowledge 38 times, the word understand 32, the word understanding 25. That's a lot of words pertaining to the idea of wisdom. Notice where it says in Proverbs 13, verse 11, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. It's very easy to be tempted to look at that proverb and say, that sounds like any other proverb. For instance, the French would say, little by little, the bird makes its nest. The Chinese will say, give a man a fish and you can feed him for a day, but teach him how to fish and he can feed himself for a lifetime. The Russians have their own version. If everyone gives one thread, the poor person will have a shirt. And of course, the Western civilization have their own version where it says, don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you've ever wondered where the idea of an owl comes for as an icon for wisdom, it came from the Greeks. And you can Google that and find out why. The whole idea is it's not really as extraordinary as we think it is. So why is Proverbs extraordinary? What makes it extraordinary? Well, the first reason is because it claims to be from God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Notice the words wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, the Bible tells us that if in Proverbs 6, verse 6, if you go to the ant, you sluggard, and considers its ways and be wise, you can actually look at an ant and become wise. You can look at a bird, and the proverb says in chapter 27, verse 8 says, a bird that flees its nest is anyone who flees from home. Like a bird that flees its nest is anyone who flees from home. In other words, it's not a wise thing to do. And thirdly, you can watch a dog. The Bible says this, tells us in Proverbs 26, 11, a dog returns to its vomit as a fool repeats their folly. Point being, creation has a lot of wisdom that we can observe. But obviously, we know that nothing compares to all of this wisdom to the wisdom of man. Man is the wisest among all these creatures, but just like all of these creatures, creation has limits when it comes to wisdom because ultimately wisdom comes from God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So what makes it extraordinary? It claims to be from God. Secondly, it calls out to you. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Notice the words wisdom and understanding. And again, we find the words through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, all of these constitute wisdom. Further, it says wisdom is rare and beautiful. And what happens when something is rare and beautiful? It becomes almost like something that is hard to have. And yet the Bible tells us in Proverbs 1, verse 20, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. All the city gate makes her speech. In other words, wisdom, while rare, precious, is available to us. Further, it says in Proverbs 8, verses 1 to 4, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading to the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out and raise my voice to all mankind. This is the wisdom of God. It invites us. It's available to us regardless of whether we're old or young, whether we're rich or poor, whatever state of situation we'll be, wisdom is available. And that's what makes it extraordinary. It is not exclusive to a few wise people, people who have money to attend seminars. It is available to you. But probably the reason why I love the wisdom of God so much is because it doesn't just call out to us, it's very honest. Unlike a lot of wisdom what we see in these days where it tells us a lot of things that are really not as honest as we want it to be, Proverbs tells us honestly what the situation is. Watch this verse in Proverbs 19, verse 4. Wealth attracts many friends. That's not a good thing to say, but even close friends, a close friend of the poor person deserts him. In short, Proverbs is honest. It tells you the truth, and from that truth, we can have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Further, it says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. It simply, very honestly tells us, we are blessed when we listen to God's wisdom. For those who find me, find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me, harm themselves. All who hate me, love death. Very honest. And that's what makes God's wisdom extraordinary. It claims to be from God. It calls out to you. But finally, it's integrated. Much of wisdom is fragmented. Its intellect is separated from the physical body. The physical body is separated from finances, and finances are separated from relationships. That's not the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 17, verse 20 says, one whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. Notice the words, one whose heart is corrupt, which talks about the spiritual life, does not prosper, which talks about the financial life. And further, you'll see a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Notice where it says a heart at peace gives life. It's about relationship, isn't it? It's about the physical body, the bones. Because the idea of Proverbs and the wisdom of God is not separated, fragmented truths about our intellect, our spiritual life, our financial life. They're integrated. Our spiritual, financial, relational, and physical lives are one. Unlike the owl that sits in a tree, the idea of Proverbs is shalom. An integration of our spiritual life, our relational life, our physical life, and for that matter, even our financial lives. Thus, we find that it's integrated, and that's what makes it different from all other sorts of wisdom. The next question is, how does the extraordinary work? Now, finding in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, the words we looked at earlier has three components. Wisdom equals knowledge plus understanding. Thus, we find, how does the extraordinary work? Well, for starters, in order to have wisdom, you have to have knowledge. You have to know. When you know smoking is bad for you, you need to understand why. But more importantly, a lot of people know and understand, but they cannot apply. And thus, there is no wisdom. Wisdom is combining these three things. The knowledge that these are not necessarily bad for you, but not necessarily, if you understand, the best for you. When you learn to apply wisdom in your life, what happens is you find these words. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire compare with her. Further, it says, long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 17. You need to know these verses. You need to understand what it's saying. And finally, you need to apply them because it's profitable. It says it's precious. It says it's pleasant. And most of all, it gives you peace. Now, finally, it says she's a tree to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Now, this gives you a clue about understanding wisdom and not just knowing it. It says it's like a tree. In other words, you can't have wisdom overnight. A tree grows little by little. A tree grows with its roots, the part of the tree that you don't see. That's what wisdom is. That part of a person that you don't see, that they hold fast to, and that's why they are blessed. So how does the extraordinary work? To know, and secondly, to understand. To understand that we're like a tree. And much of wisdom is that part of us that you don't see. The roots. Under that roots, you have the spiritual. You have and when that spiritual life of us works, that side of us flourishes. The leaves begin to flourish. We bear fruit in the spiritual when we learn how to pray and meditate and proclaim and learn how to fellowship with other people we know are spiritual as well. Secondly, there's the relational. And when we grow those roots, what happens is our relational life begins to flourish. Then you have your physical life. When you take care of your body, when you take care of your mind, your emotions, and when you take care of your tongue and watch what you say, the proverb says, you will find that physical life flourishing as well in wisdom. And finally, you've got the financial life. When we learn how to manage our money well, when we learn how to earn well, how to steward well, and more importantly, to be generous, that part of our life will thrive. Thus, we see the fulfillment of the words, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. And that's the good news about God's wisdom. It's extraordinary because it claims to be from God. It's a calling. It's available. It's rare. Yes, it's precious, but it's available to you. And it's inviting you. It's integrated when you know and understand. And finally, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, my son, if you accept my words and store my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Notice the words, applying your heart to understanding. It's one thing to know, and it's one thing to understand. Totally different thing when you know how to apply. When you think about wisdom, there's a lot of things you need to know about your spiritual life, your relational life, your physical life, and obviously your financial life. As an explanation and an example, think about your money. Bible tells us in Proverbs that you have to earn money. It tells us lazy hands make for poverty. You will be poor if you're lazy, but diligent hands or hardworking hands will bring wealth. Do you know that? Do you understand it? And do you apply it? All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk and fantasy will lead to poverty. Do you know that? Do you understand it? Do you apply it? Secondly, if you want to have a lot of money, save. Dishonest money dwindles away. Quick rich schemes, they just dwindle away. But whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Do you know that? Do you understand it? And do you apply it? It says a faithful person will be richly blessed. Somebody who's faithful to save little by little, but one who is eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Do you know that? Do you understand it? And do you apply it? In short, wisdom is not a shortcut. It takes a while to learn how to earn, to save, and finally to manage. It says the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Do you plan your finances? Do you plan your day? Do you budget? As surely as haste leads to poverty. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. When we don't understand that borrowing without a plan to repay it, without a diligent plan to repay it, will make us a slave. Finally, giving. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Do you know that? Do you understand what it means? That when we're generously giving to others, we refresh others, we ourselves will be refreshed. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. A lot of people hear these things, say these things, know about these things, at some level, even understand it. Until you know, until you understand, and more importantly, until you apply, these verses will not be real to you. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of wisdom makes us wealthy without any trouble attached to it. By no means am I a rich man or somebody who has a lot of money, but I can certainly say I am rich in God and toward God. I can safely say I earn well, I save well, I have no debts, and I do have properties that I've owned through the years, little by little. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it if we will walk in the wisdom of God. So what makes it extraordinary? It claims to be from God. It's a calling out to us. It's rare, but it's available. It's integrated. When we know, understand, and apply it, we will find wisdom working for us. Finally, it says, live in extraordinary wisdom. How do I do that? Live with the extraordinary God. Last year, I met a man who, last year, I became a friend with this man. And in January of this year, he wrote me this message over Messenger, Facebook Messenger. He says, "Dear friend, you've come at a time where answers are needed, and hence a prayer was answered. You've taught me the story of seasons. There's always a season for everything." Now, this man's 44 years old. I'm 64 years old, 64 this year. And then finally, he tells me why he was writing this. "Tomorrow, before the sun is up, I will be wheeled into a theater for my heart operations. Two big procedures to be done." At that point, I started praying for this man. A procedure went well, actually, and he became healthy. But a few days later after that, his diagnosis was getting worse. In Chinese New Year, I came to his house. I met with him and his wife and sat down. And I explained to them who Jesus was. And I began to pray for them and praying the prayer that God will heal him. A few days later, he was supposed to go to the hospital and went to the hospital, actually. But just recently, he sent me this message. "Hey, Joey, just to let you know, my heart beats has miraculously back to normal. Hence, the procedure to correct it is canceled. Our prayers is answered." I responded back to him by says, "Our God is an amazing God. Do you mind if I post this on my social media channels without mentioning your name? I will just take a screenshot if it's okay with you. If you're not comfortable, I won't do it." He basically said, "Please tell everybody it is a witness to the truth of who your God is. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases Him." When we know how to live in extraordinary wisdom by living with an extraordinary God, we will see the wisdom of God play out in our lives. Secondly, it live among extraordinary people. What's interesting about the book of Proverbs is not just that it's from God, not just that it's calling out to you and is available to you or is integrated, not that you can actually apply it or you're living with God. What's interesting about Proverbs is most of it is done in relationships. Notice the words Proverbs 1:8. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching." I love Proverbs because the best people that teach other people are the people who actually love them. When you love somebody and you're willing to suffer and sacrifice things for them, they will learn. Notice what it says in Proverbs 12, verse 1. "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid." I love this verse. Some people say, "I don't like you saying the word stupid." Well, I didn't say this. God said it. Okay? He calls people who don't want to be corrected stupid. He didn't say people who don't know things are stupid. It's people who refuse to learn. In other words, here's the point. You don't learn alone. You learn in relationships. If you're going to be wise, if you're going to be a person of wisdom this year with extraordinary wisdom, you need to learn to live with extraordinary people who live in this wisdom. Finally, in Proverbs 31, verse 2, it says, "Listen, my son of my womb, listen, my son, the answer to my prayers." Love this verse. If you've never read Proverbs 31, you should. There was a time when I read Proverbs every day, one day a week, for first day, second day, all through 31 days, and read it for years. But this chapter talks about a mother speaking to his son. Actually, Proverbs 31 is an advice of a mother telling his son the kind of woman you should marry. When you want to have extraordinary wisdom, living in it starts with living with an extraordinary God. Living in it, live with an extraordinary people, and finally, make the next generation extraordinary. This is how you further the wisdom of God on this earth. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The key is to train up the next generation. Train them how to be extraordinary in the wisdom of God. When that happens, when he's old, he will not depart from it. As I close, extraordinary wisdom for extraordinary times is available to you. What makes it extraordinary? It comes from God. What makes it extraordinary? It's calling out to you. It's available to you, as precious and as real as it is. Thirdly, it's integrated. It works your spiritual, your relational, your physical, and your financial life. There's an ability to know it, an ability to understand it, and more importantly, an ability to apply it. How do you do that? Live with the extraordinary God. Pray to him. Seek him in his word. Proclaim the truth of who he is. Live among extraordinary people who love God, his church. And finally, make the next generation extraordinary. As I close this moment, I'd like to proclaim Jesus. The truth of who we are in him is ultimately the wisdom of God in us. Grab a cup and a piece of bread, and as you partake of communion, I want you to join me in this short proclamation and prayer. Lord Jesus, in you is wisdom that has been hidden for ages and generations, the wisdom of heaven revealed. In you we have been invited to partake of wisdom so rare, profitable, and precious, but has been made available to us. Thank you for this wisdom that integrates our spiritual, relational, physical, and financial lives. Give us the grace to know, understand, and most of all, apply your wisdom to our day-to-day lives. To live with you, the source of extraordinary wisdom, your body, the church, to train the next generation in the same wisdom. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.